Welcome to the Organize 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started. So, I'm Lisa Woodruff, founder and creator of Organize 365.
I'm Monique Korb. I work for Organize 365, and I also own my business called Organizing Your Chaos. I met Lisa about 8 years ago in this group.
So we're live in the Professional Organizers Think Tank Facebook group that I started 10 years ago.
Yeah.
We're live in the Organize 365 Facebook page and Facebook group. We are live in the Organize 365 app. And we are live on Monique's and my Instagram pages. And we are recording this on a podcast. This is going to go live in a week because we really want to make an impact for what is happening inside of Ukraine. When COVID started 2 years ago, I immediately thought, what can you do with the platform that you have? Like, we all have something that we can offer the world. And Organize 365 has grown to be quite a big platform. There are a lot of people, a lot of amazing people that all have a heart for helping others and getting organized. And so when COVID happened, I immediately thought about all these kids are going to be home from school. So I started Lisa's school. And then after COVID had been, we'd been locked down for a couple of weeks, I realized that the medical binder was the thing that people really needed. And we gave away a portion of that medical binder for a year and a half. So as the situation in Ukraine has been unfolding, I have been thinking about how can I use the Organize 365 platform? How can we really make an impact? The majority of us are Americans or Australians or
Canadians
or from the UK. We're not in Poland. We're not in Ukraine. How can we really impact this situation other than sending money and worrying? What can we do? And so Monique has a big vested interest in Ukraine. And so we've been talking back and forth about what can we do. So first, I'd like to talk about Monique's history with Ukraine, why this is on our hearts especially. So why don't you share?
Okay. I've been married 29 years to a first generation born in Chicago Ukrainian. My in-laws are from Ukraine originally and escaped during a different war that was happening at that time. Moved to a couple of different countries and ended up in Chicago. My husband was born in Chicago. And so he's first generation as well as a native Ukrainian speaker. A lot of Ukrainian pride in my house. We have six children and three of them are adopted from Ukraine as well. So eight people in our house and I'm the only non-Ukrainian. So we are watching and listening and my husband is very, very passionate about his heritage and his culture, and we have all embraced that absolutely. And because of this, we watch the news a lot, and we are paying a lot of attention. We have some very, very good friends who regularly go to Ukraine and are going to be going back and taking some trips to help with some humanitarian aid and offer some relief. And my husband is going to be joining on some of these trips to help people who are in desperate need of help right now.
So to say that your husband is passionate about Ukraine is the biggest understatement I've ever heard in my life. So he came up and I met him, I don't know, what was that? 6 months ago,
yeah.
Maybe 4 or 6 months. No, there's a Ukrainian flag. There's a Ukrainian symbol on his car. Like mm-hmm. I knew instantly, like I knew you had adopted the children from mm-hmm. Ukraine because we're good friends. But it was very evident at that point that how proud he
yes.
was of his Ukrainian. It's not like, you know, I'm from Ireland. I don't have an Irish flag on my car.
Oh, we have a Ukrainian flag in front of our house.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's a different level. So as this started to unfold, like every day I'm like, how you doing, Monique? How's it going? How's it
I'm
going
like,
over there?
Okay.
I'm just kind of touching base with you. And I was just waiting for you to say, Zenon's going to Ukraine. I was like, of course. I was surprised he wasn't already there, like inside of the country. But luckily, it took a little bit longer for him to decide what he wanted to do to
yep.
support his country of origin. And he speaks Ukrainian. So that's important.
That's huge when mm-hmm. going to minister and work with people need to be able to talk to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, I mean, I remember when 9/11 happened, and on our little cul-de-sac street, there are 8 houses, and one of the members on our street had been in the military, and he was ready to re-up and re-enlist, like, the next day, because that is his training. Like, he knows how to go fight for our country, and he was ready to go fight for our country. So I was ready for you to say, Zenon wants to go fight for his country. Like, I knew that was going to be a thing. So do you want to kind of share how it moved from... And he did want to go fight for his country.
And he doesn't have any military training.
No.
But he was ready to go.
Yeah. So how do we move from that to him moving into going over as part of another organization? And what are they specifically going to be trying to do?
The organization works with a couple of churches in Western Ukraine and in Hungary. There are 200,000 Ukrainians already in Hungary, refugees. And so there is a... physical need. There, people need places to stay. People need stuff like humanitarian aid, medicines, food, all the things that we take for granted. When you see somebody on the news and they have one bag, they're walking away from their life with one bag, maybe two, holding a child, realizing that it's desperate times. And this is the largest movement of people since World War II, and could be ever
at this speed. Like, it's never moved this fast ever.
And so people are in desperate need of everything. But what they're looking at doing, my husband is looking at going with a friend of ours named Florian Stichuk out of Chesterton, and they're going to take about 8 to 10 people, and they're going to go to Hungary specifically the first time to minister spiritually to these Ukrainians who are fleeing their homeland, humanitarian aid. And while they're there, they're going to do some networking to figure out what are the next steps going to be with relocation for people who are leaving their country. And many of them will never be able to go back because it's completely destroyed. So just looking for the first line of connections to be able to help people move forward in this journey.
And it's so overwhelming. Like, Monique and I can't go very deep in our conversation because
we start crying.
It will be bad. And that is not going to be helpful for anyone or the situation. And I said to Greg the other day, I said, you know, this is probably what all war has looked like. We just have never been able to see it.
We have, because of technology.
Yeah.
We're not just getting the news from TV, from the newscasters. We're getting real life examples because people have cell phones. They're streaming what they're seeing in where they are. And so we are really seeing it live on one level that we've never seen before.
And minute by minute, and knowing what the United States is saying and all the other countries are saying, like, we have more information than we probably should have access to, which is paralyzing. And when you have too much information, you don't know what to do next. And if you have money to give, you probably have already given it. You probably are connected to charities that you usually support. And so that goes without saying. What's the next level after that? And what we have really realized that Organize 365 helps you to do is process change and move through transitions. And one of the things I found really interesting in the coverage that I'm following, I follow CNN. They have a daily, like, you can check, and they have all these updates all day long. And I just download the page onto my phone every day, and that's all I watch. I just read the headlines. Mm-hmm. That's all I read. And one of the things they said like 5 or 7 days ago, and I cannot remember which country it was, but they said there's a country that already has, hi, Monique's phone. There's a country that already has every single house has a Ukrainian family in their house with them. Here's the thing. In the United States, we don't have enough houses already for people who want to buy houses. So it's not like we have 2.5 million more houses, because already 2.5 million people have fled Ukraine. And that's just the beginning. It's country of 30 to 40,000, 44 million people. Like, this is just like the tax has already gotten through. Like, there's so many people. And as you watch the people coming through the border, I don't even see that many people come through with the bag. I think they leave their city with the bag. They come through with nothing.
Right.
And I watch all the women with the babies and the little kids. And I'm holding Grayson every night. He's 6.5 months. And we go through so many clothes and burp cloths and diapers and bottles. And I'm like, they're not bringing any of that. They don't have formula. They don't have a bottle. They don't have anything. They have nothing. And so when I think about what is going to happen in America is eventually these refugees are going to get to America. It's just going to take time. So this takes me back to the hurricane in Haiti.
Haiti?
Yeah. Or the earthquake, where it took out the entire government. Do you remember right. that? Mm-hmm. The government buildings collapsed during the earthquake, which left the government without a lot of positions being filled. And at that time, we knew people who were adopting in Haiti, just like people are currently trying to finish their adoptions in Ukraine. And the government has stopped processing adoptions, just like happened in Haiti. And because I'm an adoptive parent in the United States, you're an adoptive parent internationally, we understand that how your local government goes to your state government, goes to your federal government, goes to the federal government of another country, goes down to their local government mm-hmm. in order for you to get your child and all the way back. It's a long process. It's a legal process. There's a lot of formality and legalities in it. I frankly am shocked they've been able to process 2.5 million people coming out of Ukraine as fast as they have. Like that they're not holding
across the border.
No, they're still moving going through. But I mean, I am so grateful that Poland, I think, has taken 1.5 million of them, that they have figured out a way to move these people through as fast as possible while still doing all of the legal. They have to do all of the legal.
Right.
And I mean, that's what's holding Zenon up. His passport's expired. Check your passport, people. And so governments are in control. They do have processes and procedures that they are continuing to follow. Can't just say we're sending more aid to Ukraine. It has to go through right. the proper U.S. channels. Right. You can't just say you're going to fly there. You have to go get a visa. You have to have right. a passport. And so there's a lot at play that we want to be able to be sped up because the amount of information we have is sped up. But these checks and balances do actually help us going forward to keep some
structure
mm-hmm. and structure. So eventually some of refugees will make it to the United States. I would say a lot are going to end up making it to the United
Probably.
States.
Probably. I know that there already have been refugees that have already been flown into the U.S.
I know 86 landed 3 days ago.
Great.
Because I like weird information like that. And they said that was the first, you know, round of refugees that made it into the United States. So these people are going to move out into the world.
Well, and they're Europe is not going to be able to contain them all.
Well, no. How yeah. would they possibly?
Just not enough space.
Yes. So in thinking that way, and I'm thinking, what can I do? What can I do? What can we do? We're on the phone back and forth. And we're talking about what can we do? What can we do? So because I have a lot of friends who have adopted their children from Guatemala, what we do when people adopt children from Guatemala is we send a suitcase. And I have a suitcase right here. We send a suitcase with the person who is adopting full of clothes and toys and whatever kids need in the orphanage. And they leave the suitcase and they leave all the clothes there. And then they bring their child back. And every time they go to visit the child, they just take all kinds of suitcases one way. And they leave yep. everything that yep. is in the suitcase one way. And I thought, you know, we are about to do the adult spring break blitz here at Organize 365. I hope you guys have gotten your printables. That will also give you access to our app, which is the most positive pink bubble on the planet. I love being inside of the app. It suspends reality. Everybody is so nice in there. And what we encourage you to do from March 21st to the 25th is to pick one area in your house and double down on that and keep going back to that space until it's all the way organized. Or we're giving you a second way to spend that time. And the second way to spend that time is to declutter your house, not just so that we feel lighter. You're going to do it. Like spring is coming.
Right.
You're going to declutter your house no matter what. Like you're going to do it because you just want to get rid of things that you no longer need. I'm going to confess. How I declutter things is into a black bag or a box randomly, and I drop it off at Goodwill. That is my donation center of choice. How do you declutter things?
The same way.
Same way.
I load up bags and boxes and take them off.
Yeah. I mean, and sometimes I'll be like, I know that our local jeans or something that our local Reach Out Lakota really wants. So if it's jeans or if it's clothes or food or cleaning supplies, I'll take that to Reach Out Lakota. But the majority for me goes to Goodwill. It's right down the street.
And if you know of organizations that are looking for specific things and you have the ability to get what they need to them, please do that. It takes a step out of the donation process. It makes it easier for the people who are looking for things. So any time we can make it easy, mm-hmm. please make it easy.
So I've been thinking about, you know, we declutter, and that is great. And in our area, the reason why I like to use Goodwill is because I live in Butler County, Ohio, and in the homeless and the social programs of Butler County, you could get actual dollars to spend at the local Goodwill. So where I drop off my stuff, people actually come through with this Monopoly money.
Okay.
And they're able to pick whatever they want. It's set up like a store. And then they leave. So it's not like I'm donating my stuff and Goodwill's making a profit. Like, they probably are on some of it. They're a business. They have to stay in business. But also, a lot of those donations are going to the needy in our area. And they're actually able to pick them. Like, it's not like a bag is handed to them. They actually get to go shopping.
What they like.
Yeah, with their Monopoly money. Yeah. And so I like that. At our church, I attend the Vineyard. We have an outreach for the community where people could come in and they could go through our little grocery store and they could go through our little clothing thing. And we donate clothes there as well. And I know it takes a lot of the church's time in order to sort all of those clothes by size and make it easy for people to get them. And so I thought, you know what? As we are decluttering, like I said, if you have money, you've probably already donated your money. But as we are decluttering, we have a lot. We have as Americans, we have a lot. You know, English speaking countries have a lot of the physical resources that are going to be needed for people while they're in temporary housing mm-hmm. or to restart a new life. We have more than we need. Of course, we have more than we need. So how can we be more purposeful in what we declutter? So I'm going to show you the suitcase that I already have that Zenon's going to take over to Poland. And Greg and I will pay for it to go on the airplane.
It's fine.
Just so you know. But, you know, Grayson is moving into like the 6 to 9 month size. So I'm going to kind of show you what I have put in the suitcase. But what I like about what we've done in the suitcase is every single thing in the suitcase is for like a 1 to 6 month old baby. So like any 1 to 6 month old baby can either get this entire suitcase mm-hmm. or it probably would be enough for 5 different babies because my mother-in-law likes to shop.
Oh, see, this is good.
Yes. So in this case, you probably could do backpacks for babies because there probably would be enough.
That's a fun name. You know, you backpacks could put like, for babies.
Yeah, 3 jammies and 3 onesies, a couple, whatever. So I'll kind of show you what I put in there. And then you tell the idea that Florian just had that we could do as well.
If you don't have a local place that you can donate to, if you are specifically interested in helping with the Ukrainian crisis, our idea is Sell your items, however you sell your items. If you do a garage sale, if you do...
Oh, look how cute.
You keep talking. A garage sale, if you sell online, there's a lot of online sales. And right now, the biggest need is financial, so they can get the humanitarian aid into these refugee camps. So we have... we will be having a...
Baby clothes. Oh, I love
it. I know. So we will be having an opportunity if you're interested in supporting specifically this ministry that my husband will be going with. So declutter, if you can bag up items and make sure they're labeled for whether it's people in your community that need extra clothes or things like that. The other thing is a lot of communities have sometimes children or families that are in emergency care. So emergency care is another thing to think about. The foster care system, a lot of those kids are leaving homes with a bag, a garbage bag, some stuff in, and they get moved around and they don't have a lot to their name. Mm-hmm. So we're just thinking about the adult spring break. If there's anything that you would like to contribute financially, take your items and sell them, and you can financially contribute to humanitarian aid. At this point, that's what they're looking for. Down the line, they're going to be looking at helping with relocation. And when that rolls around, I'll be back. I'll give you an update on, you know, places in your communities or in your cities that you can look at partnering with as well.
I think when I like to figure out kind of like, what are we supposed to learn from this experience and how can we change and be better going forward? And so I don't think that I want to anymore just declutter and take the things that I no longer need and shove them on the next organization. The idea that came to me was, I think it's Samaritan's Purse that makes the little shoeboxes.
Yes.
Oh, at Christmas time.
My adoptive children have received those shoeboxes.
I think they were in an orphanage. Yeah. Yeah. They're the little shoeboxes and you fill them with like toys and stickers, but then they also ask you to put in like a toothbrush and toothpaste and some things that they also need.
Personal hygiene supplies.
Yeah. And it's specifically for a 14-year-old boy or a 3-year-old girl. And so you know that the stickers you put in there and the toys that you put in there are age and gender specific. Also, like at our church at Christmas time, you would take like an ornament off the fake Christmas tree and how it have a child's wish that you were going to fulfill, or it would just be generic. It's this child of this size and we want you to get them these things. And you would literally go shopping for that child. So when my kids would declutter their bedrooms as kids, and they could give things to their baby cousin Jack. Or there was a house that burned down in our neighborhood, and we found out that the police department always took stuffed animals with them when somebody's house burned down or anything like that. And they would give them a stuffed animal when they were in the police department. My kids got rid of 80% of their stuffed animals that day. The week before, they'd get rid of none of them. But because they knew that those stuffed animals were going to the kids whose apartment, the whole apartment complex burned down, they were willing to part with more because it had a purpose. And that's really what we want to say. Like,
declutter with a purpose.
Yeah, you're going to declutter. You are going to declutter.
We want you to declutter.
Everybody's going to. I mean, people who don't even like organizing are going to declutter, but obviously you guys do because you follow us and you know that's all we talk about. But how can we, going forward, be more purposeful and think about like, okay, I am, you know, the size clothing I am. As we are decluttering Grayson's things, instead of just decluttering every single week, store them up and about, you know, 4 times a year, be like, okay, these are all things that are perfect for a 6-month-old baby. These are all things that are perfect for a 1-year-old baby boy. And then create almost like these little care packages. And I could see, we're not doing this, but maybe one of you would do it. And I would love to support it. Like, I could see this be the new way that people declutter going forward, like that organizations start taking donations, not onesies, twosies, but like we would like it in a backpack. We would like it in a bag. We would like it labeled
with what it is.
Label it.
It's a great idea.
Yeah. Or like kitchen, like when people are coming out of incarceration, they always need to set up their entire apartment. And so they need everything related to a kitchen. So instead of all the cast offs, like you always have like, I'm giving away a flipper and a this, that, like these are all kitchen utensils. These are all so kitchen
and
cooking.
And every box has these items in it. So it's like the startup kit for your kitchen.
Yes.
Even there was a organization where we used to live that had a home for women who are coming out of bad relationships. Mm-hmm. And they would, you know, help provide and set up apartments for them with just what they needed to get started.
Yeah, I think that this has just brought to my mind, decluttering is a privilege. Because it's totally a privilege that we're able to go through our house and get rid of things that we don't need anymore that are in perfectly good condition because we've gotten more things through our Amazon deliveries. That's just in case I went shopping this weekend. I'm not going to lie. I have new clothes. And I'm not saying that we need to feel guilty or bad that we have what we have, but can we declutter with the same thought
and enthusiasm
and care of how we accumulate? Mm-hmm. So that the people who are receiving the things that we no longer need can receive them as if they just went to the mall and picked them out as well. Because it's exactly what they needed and it's delivered in a way that's helpful.
And it allows people to have their head held up high and feel good about themselves and do it, you know, and not lose their value because they're just getting somebody's cast off. But you're being thoughtful in how you share and how you give.
Yeah, and this is, I mean, I could get rabbit trailed and this could become the Organized 365 mission, but it's not going to. But I think that in every city, in every community, in every church, in every synagogue, in every school, in every whatever, there is going to be a population of Ukrainian people coming your way. And how is your community going to open the arms and invite them in? And how can you get the rest of your community to support you in that effort? Like, They're going to need homes. They're going to need so many things, and they're coming, and we're excited to receive them. Like we are, we're excited to receive them
and to be involved.
So let's be preparing. It's almost like let's be preparing for these new friends and family members that are coming our way to really wrap around the support, because we are the government. Like you can say, well, the government's, hello, we're the government. And so the government is going to pave the way of visas and probably some aid, but we are going to be the ones that give the hugs, and we are the ones that are going to welcome them and give them backpacks and get them in our schools and in our work and in everything else. And so if you were preparing for someone to come live with you or be in your community, what would you be able to give them? And you may find that what I'm going to plan on doing, I'm not going to go ahead and sell it. So you may have a space in your house where you start saying, this is for the Ukrainians that are coming.
And you just keep it until you find the place that it goes to.
Right.
But doing it with a purpose.
Yeah.
For someone, for a person, is a very different way of of how you feel when you declutter than it's just to clean out. But when you're thinking about, there's a human with a face and a family and a very big loss that will be very, very grateful.
And this is, you know, this is a generational thing that is happening. Like this is a 30, 40 year long event that has just started.
Oh, this is this
the
is
media gonna... will stop covering it at some point. And just like the tornado that went through five states, wiped out whole cities. The media covered that for 36 hours and moved on to the next thing. There are states in the middle of the country that have been, their cities have completely been wiped away, but the media isn't covering it anymore. And so this opening of arms to the Ukrainian people is a generational thing that we need to be preparing for. So you don't have to worry about what are you going to do today. Start thinking about like, oh, that's an interesting idea. Share this with your community, with the people in your community that they're active. I hope this is an idea that some people do have the time to take and implement. And how cool would it be if going forward, donation centers were set up more like Samaritan's Purse and less like a garage sale?
I was going to say like a dig bin or something.
Yeah, right, right. And just really like curated, like we know that you have a need. Here are some extra. Here are a whole bunch of things that have been curated just for you.
I love that idea.
Yeah.
Okay. Somebody go do that.
Yeah. Somebody go do that and let me know. And then we'll have you on the podcast. So we're having the Adult Spring Break Blitz next week. It is not this Monday, next Monday, the 21st through the 25th. You can find out more by going to organize365.com/blitz. You'll be able to get the printables. And then we are only posting the videos for that inside of the app. So I've already pre-recorded my videos. It's about me organizing my storage room this time. Those will be going live one every day and walking you through these printables. And then Monique, you're also going to be live Monday, Wednesday, and Friday in the app also, right?
I'm going to be live in the app. Keep you guys moving through your Adult Spring Break Blitz. Join us, join us.
Yes. And Monique and her team here at Organize 365 really do facilitate that community experience over in our app. We did move off of Facebook in November, as you've noticed, like you're like, why is she on Facebook now? I haven't been on Facebook in 4 months. As a matter of fact, I tried on three different computers. It took me forever to get live on Facebook. I couldn't remember how to get on. And when I finally got on, it says, welcome back. I was like, yeah, I'm totally not on Facebook. Our Organize 365 community has moved over to the app. And up until this point, it was just people who were in our paid programs. But we are now inviting in anybody that has been in the Organize 365 community or wants to join us. We weren't sure. We wanted to test out the app first.
It's great.
It's great.
Come join us. We love it.
It's so great. It's so great. We would really, really, really love to have you there. So thank you so much for joining us on Sunday night. This podcast will be going out on March 20th. I know many, many, many of you have friends, family members, you're adopting children from Ukraine, you have adopted children from Ukraine, you have family members that are in Europe, that are in the front lines of this entire humanitarian need, and our thoughts and prayers are with you. This is a small thing that we could do as Americans as we are cleaning out our house, get that nervous energy out, and prepare for opening our arms for new friends.
And thank you.
Thank you.